Good morning and happy Sabbath to each and every one of you this morning. So to get started, let's please turn to Philippians chapter 4 and verse 8. I know what you're thinking already. Familiar verse. And you're probably thinking ahead, okay, which one? Which one is he going to do this time? We all want to know what's coming, right? And so you probably already have a good idea. You might be right, might be wrong. You'll see. Those are all good thoughts, of course. Given that several messages I've given have this verse specifically is the basis for, in the context I've used to launch forward into some very similar topics, but hopefully they're there now in Philippians chapter 4 and verse 8, and we'll read once again. It says, "Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of a good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things." There's 80 of them. And why is it good to read this verse? Well, hopefully not too much of a repeat, it's good because no matter what circumstances, whether it's current world events, something specific in our individual lives, our family, our friends, or otherwise, God wants us to always think on these 8 things. He just made it very plain there in that verse. True, honest, just, pure, lovely, good report, what's virtuous, and what's of praise. Those 8. Because by doing so, we're comforted. We're comforted because we're putting on the mind of God. We're learning to think as He does. These are the things He thinks about. Let's go up one verse to verse 7 now, and we'll read that one next. It says, "And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." So by thinking on these 8 things, we have that peace of mind. It's a peace of mind that we can't even fully comprehend, as it says. And you may also remember that with these two verses, that they were the backdrop for another message that I gave, very, very similar. That was about having true peace in our lives. But let's keep going. Let's go up one more verse to verse 6. And let's read that one next. It says, "Be careful," or better translation is "anxious, for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be known unto God." So, of course, this verse is telling us what not to do. But let's also take note, having now read those 3 verses in reverse, let's take note of where the author starts in verse 6. The context of these 3 verses is about something, he starts at verse 6. That's the first context, about something we should not do. We should not think about that. And again, what is that? That is not to be anxious for anything. So clearly this is the opposite of what we should be thinking about, which we first read in verse 8. So stating the obvious here, what is the author of Philippians, what has he done here? He has taken us from the opposite of what we should be thinking about, which he mentioned in verse 6, to what we are to be thinking about, that's in verse 8. And then in the middle, verse 7, he explains why. Peace. That surpasses all understanding. But I want to focus on verse 6 today, and that's the one I really want to dive into. Not 7, not 8, as I've done before. I want to dive into verse 6. So, first question, though, just to make sure we're all on the same page, is what does it mean to be anxious? Just simply, it's experiencing worry or unease. Nervousness typically about an imminent event or something with an uncertain outcome. Some words that are similar to anxious are worried, concerned, apprehensive, fearful, uneasy, ill at ease, and even perturbed. Notice, and I stressed it, notice the word fearful is similar. You can interchange them, basically. Fearful and anxious. So it's having worries, having that fear, being uneasy. We might not stop and think about this as much as we should. It's the reason why I wanted to give this message today. But God is saying here that we are not to be fearful or anxious. It's the opposite of the mindset we should have. So in the context of a pandemic, which we all know we're still in the middle of, we can clearly see that there are many, many people gripped by the fear of it. We can see that they're often not thinking rationally as a result of that fear. It's not just some, it's a lot of people. And it's not just our local area, it's the whole world. It's all countries, it's all peoples, it's all nations. Greater to lesser degree, they are very, very anxious and very fearful of this thing. It's very widespread. So we can use that as a good example for us to see and look at that fear. We can see that anxiousness all over the place. Sometimes it's just outright terror that some people have. They're experiencing it, whether real or not. We can see it in them. And I think we'd all also agree this isn't even such a bad one, at least not in some areas. But it is still a pandemic. And we also know, though, from Scripture, there will be much, much worse that's going to come upon this earth. Much worse than even this pandemic. But as with any problem, it can be much easier to see others' reaction and not handling that problem well, and then it becomes a problem for them. So let's allow these experiences to help us have the proper, have the proper effect on us. Let's allow this experience of this pandemic, and maybe it already is, so just go with me if it is, but we can learn from it. We can watch others, and we can allow it to have the effect on ourselves that it should, so that we can learn as God wants us to. So let's quickly reread verse 6 again. It says, be careful. Let me read it the proper translation. Be anxious or fearful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be known unto God. So for the next few minutes, I'm going to read a very good write-up. I want to talk first about the physical effects that prolonged fear can have. Prolonged anxiety really does take a toll. And maybe many of you already know this, but I think it's worth noting, because I think as I read some of this, you're going to see these effects happening to people around us who are really gripped by the fear of this pandemic. And I think it's going to keep getting worse. So this is something I pulled off the internet. It's from the University of Minnesota. The author is Earl Bakken for the Center of Spiritual and Spiritual Healing. So starts off the heading here is the impact of fear and anxiety. Fear is a human emotion. It's triggered by a perceived threat. It is a basic survival mechanism that signals our bodies to respond to danger with fight or flight response. Right? I mean, I think we all know that. As such, it is an essential part of keeping us safe. So fear, in general, is not a bad thing. It can keep us safe. However, when people live in constant fear, whether from physical dangers in their environment or threats they perceive, they can experience negative impacts in all areas of their lives, and even to the point of becoming incapacitated. So here's how fear works. It prepares us to react to danger. Once we sense a potential danger, our body releases hormones. And through those hormones, it can slow or shut down functions not needed for survival, such as a digestive system. So that's very protective mechanism. If we're in a very dangerous situation, body stops doing things it normally does, and then it can then, as a result, sharpen functions that might help us survive, such as our eyesight. Our heart rate increases, our blood flows to muscles so we can maybe run faster. You know, that adrenaline can sometimes kick in and really help us that way. Our body increases the flow of hormones to an area of the brain known as the amygdala to help us focus on the presenting danger and store it in our memory. So here's how fear impacts our thinking even. Once the fear pathways are ramped up, the brain reacts in very predictable ways. But living under constant threat of fear has very serious health effects. And this is what I really want to stress as I read this article. What are those physical effects that living under the constant state of fear has? First, it weakens our immune system. So if you're, which is kind of ironic if you think about it, if you're really gripped by fear and you're in the middle of a pandemic, your immune system goes down, that makes you even more susceptible to the thing you fear. It causes cardiovascular damage, gastrointestinal problems such as ulcers, it can cause irritable bowel syndrome, it can cause decreased fertility, it can even lead to accelerated aging and even premature death. That's just the physical part, right? Our memory is also impacted. It can impair formation of long-term memories, cause damage to certain parts of the brain, such as the hippocampus. It can make it even more difficult to regulate and control our fears. It can leave a person just anxious all the time. To someone in chronic fear, the world looks scary everywhere. Their memories even confirm that. Even though it's not really reality, it's real to them. And then our brain processing and reactivity. Fear can interrupt processes in our brains that allow us to regulate emotions. We can't read nonverbal cues very well if we're under a prolonged fear. Just don't process information properly. We just reflect before even acting. We don't act ethically nearly as well. Our thinking and decision making becomes much more negative. It leaves us susceptible into intense emotions that wouldn't otherwise be there. Impulsive reactions. Am I jogging any memories? Do we see any of these sorts of things that are going on in the world? I think we can probably all say yes. And of course, you've heard of PTSD. You know, a lot of military members experience that, but that's not just military people that experience that. PTSD can be for a lot of other reasons too. And they talked about it in the case of 9/11, those that were maybe in the building but somehow got out, they experienced PTSD. And the last area I want to, stress from this nice write-up is fear can even be inherited. Okay? It is possible that we can inherit fear from our ancestors. I think one case in point is things like the Great Depression. You know, that can be inherited down through generations. There is evidence to show that this does happen. Another example, some children whose parents were survivors of the Holocaust, those children even experience a lot of that fear that's inherited from their parents. In the article, I'm not going to go into details, but it even says about African Americans whose parents were in slavery, indigenous people, so Native Americans. It mentions several different, so fear really does. I just went through a lot there, and that was just a short article. It covers a lot of areas. That's just the physical toll. Again, I think we can kind of see how this is really, really taking over the world pretty hard right now with this pandemic and other calamities that are showing forth. Russia and Ukraine seems to maybe be ramping, although maybe it's going to ramp down. We'll see. But that's the physical side. There's also a spiritual side. So what about those spiritual consequences? I'm not going to spend nearly as much time talking about those, because I think it's pretty easy. We get that part of it pretty well. We've heard many messages in that area. But if you would, please start turning with me to Revelation chapter 21 and verse 8, because I think this verse is very fitting, given our current circumstances when we talk about a pandemic. I think it's good not just for that reason, but it really speaks to the consequences, spiritual consequences of being fearful. And I also want to stress that this is this example is near the end of Revelation, obviously. It's the result of a lot of, you know, so a lot of different calamities have already been mentioned in Revelation. Very earth-shattering, very scary. So it's at the end of the book where the earth is broken, it's desolate, it's disparaged, you know, not very many inhabitants left maybe at this point. So we're kind of seeing, right, those bigger calamities that we know are coming compared to the current pandemic. So that's the context, that's the backdrop. So with that very desperate picture in mind, let's now read Revelation chapter 21 and verse 8. Says, "But the fearful," right there at the very beginning of the verse, and let's just skip through the rest and read the latter part of the verse, and it says, "They shall have their part in the lake which burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death." So don't really need to spend too much time going into the spiritual side of the effects of living a fearful life. So obviously we must not be fearful no matter what. Doesn't matter what's going on, you know. We see others maybe getting gripped by that. Maybe we see a complete end to this pandemic, or, you know, a complete recovery, but maybe we don't. But it doesn't matter, because we cannot let this or anything, whether it's some calamity going on around us, or maybe it's even something smaller in our lives. We can't let anything grip us with fear and anxiety. We must rather make our calling sure. So in conclusion, the overarching thought I would like to leave us all with is this. As the world becomes increasingly trapped in Satan's grip of fear, let's make sure we're more and more thinking exactly opposite. Let's make sure that we're thinking on those eight things God has mentioned in verse 8 of Philippians chapter 4. And let's just go and read that one last time before I close. If you go there again, Philippians chapter 4 and verse 8. "Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, and of a good report and virtuous, there be any praise, think on these things."